In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Some of you may remember or may know of the great Edith Piaf song, Je ne regrette rien, which translates into, I regret nothing. In this song, Edith sings that she regrets nothing. You can just sweep all the past away and start over. The good stuff, the bad stuff, it's all the same. It's meant to be a love song, and it's musically a beautiful song. And at the end of the song, she sings to whoever her lover is and says that I regret nothing and it's swept all away because I'm starting over with you. So it's meant to be a lovely love song. And I was listening to it a couple weeks ago, and I thought as I was listening to it, you know, as pretty as this song is, I don't think I could ever really sing it. I can't get behind the lyrics. I can't identify with the lyrics, at least not with the chorus. I could never look at my past life and say, I regret nothing. Who could, honestly? For me, looking at my life and all of its ups and downs, there are many things that I regret. Many moments that I would take back or change or do things differently. Who can say that they would change nothing in their lives? Who can say that they have never made a mistake? Not me. The truth is that we all have things in our lives that we would rather keep in the dark. We all have made decisions or mistakes that we may not be proud of, or that we might not prefer be subjected to public scrutiny. And if you honestly think, looking back on your life, that you wouldn't do anything differently, that you regret nothing, then you are either a perfect person, which is an exceptionally rare thing indeed, or you're seriously lacking in self-awareness. And I don't have to tell you which one of those is more likely. The answer, I think, we find in the scriptures, particularly in the scripture that I read out at the beginning of our service. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I think this scripture points out that we basically, as humans of faith, we've got two options available to us. One option is that we can deceive ourselves into thinking that we are all right, that we have it all together, that we regret nothing, that our women are strong, our men are good looking, and our children are above average, as the saying goes. We can spend our time and our energy trying to keep the less savory aspects of our life out of the public eye. We can try and try and try to keep all of our deeds in the dark so that people won't know just how faulty we truly are. That's one option, and sadly, many, many people in this world spend their life following just that option. But there's another option. We can admit that we need help. We can admit that we cannot do this on our own. We can admit that we have made mistakes, that we do have regrets, and that we would do some things differently in our lives if we had the chance. We can admit that our actions and our deeds and our words have hurt others, and have probably hurt ourselves. We can admit that we cannot save ourselves or heal ourselves. We can admit that we need some other grace from outside of ourselves to get through this life. We can admit that, yes, indeed, I do regret. some things. As the Israelites were wandering around in the wilderness, they sinned, and they regretted it. They had miraculously been freed from slavery. They had even more miraculously been freed and saved from starvation, from lack of water. Time and time again, their needs had been met, and yet still, we find them this morning very impatient with God and with Moses. They started complaining. They started getting testy with God's prophet. They said to him, "We're sick of this food. We should have stayed in Egypt and died there." They probably are tired of his leadership. They want to go wherever it is, to get wherever it is that they're supposed to be going. And they're just so complaining. They've just seen all these miracles, and still they're complaining and whining to Moses about how bad things are for them. And no sooner do they get done complaining than things get a whole lot worse. And now not only are they still with the same food, which is nourishing them, although they may not find it appetizing, but now they have this infestation of snakes that are biting at them and killing them. And so as soon as these snakes invade, they think to themselves, "Oh my, you know what? Things probably weren't so bad about 10 minutes ago before we started complaining. Things actually were pretty good back then when we just had food and not snakes." And reflecting on the change, they realized, you know what? We probably should not have been complaining so much. We regret what we did. We sinned by doing this. And for them, these snakes which were tormenting them and killing them, these snakes were a symbol of that sin. These snakes were a symbol of that failure for them. And Moses, who is ever faithful, even with these people who are constantly impatient and biting at his heels, Moses, who is ever faithful, prays to God for them anyways. And what does God tell him to do? He says to make an iron or a bronze snake, put it on a pole, put it on a hill, and make them look at it. Take this thing that is the symbol of their sin, that is the reminder of where they went wrong, and don't hide it from them, but put it up and make them look at it. And in looking at that symbol of their sin, they will be healed. And that's what Moses does. And they are healed. So sometime later, when Jesus is speaking to a leader of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, who is talking about himself and his mission and salvation, Jesus says to Nicodemus that when the Son of Man, referring to himself, is lifted up, alluding to the crucifixion, it will be like that serpent of Moses. That symbol that is set up, a symbol of your failure that has the power to heal you. So that crucifixion becomes for us not just a symbol to remind us of our own sin and what the extreme effects of sin can be, which of course is death, but also to remind us that in looking at that sin, in examining it and not turning away from it and holding it up as a symbol to ourselves, that we can be healed and forgiven. Everybody quotes John 3:16. They put the numbers up as if it's almost a talisman of some sort. But I find the more meaningful part of this morning's gospel to be the very next verse. Indeed, God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. We do not condemn. God does not condemn us. It's not his condemnation, it is our own. We condemn ourselves when we refuse to acknowledge our own sinfulness. We condemn ourselves when we deny the wrongs we have done or the pain we have caused others. We condemn ourselves when we try to keep everything in the dark. We condemn ourselves to this life of running around fruitlessly, trying to be something that we are not, trying to look and act perfect to the outside world when we know better. Deep down inside, we do know better. And that is a self-condemnation. A self-condemnation of trying to be something that you can never be. God is not coming to condemn us. That is the message of this morning's gospel. It is not God's condemnation, it is our own. And He is coming to offer us freedom from our own condemnation. What is asked of us is that we look at our sin. Don't turn away from it, don't try and hide it, but look at it, examine it. Examine all of its effects. Own all of our mistakes. Own all of our regrets. And yes, indeed, confess them. Perhaps privately to a priest. It is a good practice, you know. But even if you don't do that, more importantly, to confess it to God and to confess it, most importantly, to yourself. And ask God for His grace and His forgiveness. It isn't an easy thing to do. It involves looking at things that we would rather keep in the dark, that we would rather not bring out into the light. Sin is an ugly thing. But then again, so are snakes. And we just might find that if we stop and look at some of these ugly things in our life, we just might be healed. Amen.